Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined as always by Kent Steinbeck, and we are coming to you from Herb's House, which is a coffee shop, coffee house. It's more than a shop, it's a coffee house here in Dallas, Texas. And we have a great passage we're going to look at today. It's going to be short, it's going to be sweet. If you have your Bible, it's going to be 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. The title of this is Precious Promises. And I want to begin by reading this. It's a little bit longer verse, so Kent, I'm going to have to talk quicker through this, or quickly. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Kent, the focus here again is upon the Word of God and the primacy and the centrality of the Word of God in the life of the believer. And the Word of God being represented here as promises. God is a promise-keeping God. Everything that He has said in His Word, He will make good. All of His promises are yea and amen, 2 Corinthians 1 says. And Peter underscores this, and he talks about that our Christian life is to be led by, and it's almost like the rudder of the ship, to be directed by precious and magnificent promises. These promises are contained in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation. It's contained in the divinely inspired Word of God. And there's two adjectives here that describe these promises that are written in Scripture, precious and magnificent. I love that. I remember going to the New York Public Library, and there's two lions out in front as you walk up the main entrance into the New York City Public Library. And these two lions, I think, are prudence and wisdom. And so it's kind of like there are two lions here as we walk into the Word of God that really help identify what the Word of God is, and is precious and magnificent. I mean, why would we not want to be in the Word of God and study these promises when they're said to be precious and magnificent? Let's just talk about those two words. Precious is a Greek word that means valuable. Highly valuable, to the point of inestimable worth, greater than any object in this world, are these precious promises. I mean, we've said there's only two things going out of this world, the Word of God and the souls of men. And it's these precious promises that are the anchor for our soul. Is the cornerstone for our Christian life. And then he adds magnificent promises. And Kent, this word magnificent has at its root a word that comes in the English language, mega, meaning huge, great, extraordinary. And these are not small little promises that God has given to us, like, okay, you're going to be able to get a good parking place when you go to the grocery store. No, these are magnificent promises that deal with life and death and eternity and our destiny and the ages to come. I mean, these precious promises concern the affairs of providence and God's working in our life and God's divine enablement to empower us to live the Christian life. These are massive, magnificent promises that God gives to us. And so he says, so that you may become partakers of the divine nature. It's these promises that led us into the kingdom of God. And as soon as we went through the narrow gate, we received the divine nature. And the divine nature here, it refers to, really, we became a new person in Christ. and we were given the mind of Christ instantly, immediately at the new birth. And suddenly now we see the world different. We see ourselves different. We see God different. We see other people different. We see our marriage different because the divine nature has been put within us. And it is also a nature that now has new loves and new desires and new ambitions and new affections. And we have been disconnected. At the end of this verse, it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And so we have burned our bridges behind us. Really, God has burned our bridges behind us. And he has just snatched us like a branch out of the fire and has taken us out of this world that is perishing. And now we have these precious, extraordinary promises to chart our course, almost like stars on a dark night, how they guide sailors out in the ocean. These promises are just so bright and shining as we live in this dark world. So these are precious promises, Kent. And that's why you and I are just so committed to the Word of God, because even the Bible itself testifies to how invaluable these statements of truth are. So, Kent, we got to talk about this.
Well, this is magnificent.
Steve, where else is this word magnificent found in the Bible? I don't know. I don't know if I know where it's found. I don't know. Maybe it's in a different word in our translation. But
well, Kent, I'm just going to look that up now.
But the word magnificent, I mean, normally you hear awesome or wonderful, but magnificent.
I am so glad you asked this because I have this little app where I look up every word in the original language. And are you ready for this? You want to know where else this is found in the Bible?
I'd like to know.
Nowhere else.
It's what
this
I thought.
This is the only time this word is used in the entire Bible.
I've never seen the word magnificent.
Which really underscores the kind of the rareness of it, underscores the importance of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just sharpens our focus on
magnificent
it.
Promises.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it starts off with this root mega.
So Paul is saying, this
Megastos.
Is what, right? I love that.
Yeah.
So Paul is saying this is yours.
Mm-hmm.
This is at your feet. This is what God has used to save you, and this is what can be yours as we walk daily. Correct.
Yeah.
Now, we said this in our last study. We talked about this. Some of us, unfortunately, like Lot, you preach this Sunday, can get caught up and just ignore this. Is that correct?
That is correct.
We can ignore this. It's like a gift that's given to us.
Yeah.
And we just don't even open it.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Or we don't use it? Is that what we do?
I think studies have said in America the average Christian has between 3 to 4 Bibles. And how rarely are they used?
Wow.
In most cases. And how rarely are they even taken to church? How rarely are they even needed to be taken to church because there's not preaching from the Word of God? No, Lot, as you recall, there in Genesis 19, he was sitting at the gate with all the other leaders in town, and he's just absorbing their worldly philosophy and their worldly agenda, and he is disconnected really from the promises of God. And of course, at that point, scripture had not yet been written. So I think what we take from that, what an advantage we have. I mean, Kent, we've got all 66 books. And Lot is dependent upon really what Abraham has spoken to him in their journeys.
Sure.
And he really is isolated there in Sodom and Gomorrah. So there aren't other people feeding into him. And he's just sucked into a vacuum of ungodliness and worldliness, and that's kind of like the culture and the society in which we live.
Right.
And so we've got to be plugged into the Word.
So as all our listeners are thinking about this, I'm thinking about it, we have these magnificent promises for us at our disposal.
Yeah.
Why would we drift off into society like Lot and feed on that?
Yeah.
When we have this,
yeah.
It's an indictment, isn't it?
It is an indictment, and it shows the weakness that is still in us, and that too often we walk by sight and not by faith. And we chart our course by what we hear others say and what we see others doing and how they're living, how they're raising their children, and the decisions they make, rather than living by faith in what we cannot see.
Yeah.
And you know, in Hebrews 11 and in verse 1, it just says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And so we've got to live by what is not seen and what is taught in the Bible.
And there's nothing greater, as you just said, magnificent, in our entire life than to go after this.
Yeah, yeah. So we need to be walking Bibles.
Wow.
I mean, we need to be saturated and flooded with the Scripture.
Wow.
To be strengthened and deeply rooted in God and in the will of God for our lives. So I hope this has been helpful for you. It's certainly been the truth of Scripture that Kent and I have been able to bring to you today. I just trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life and will really work this into the fabric of your soul, and that you'll be a living epistle, that you will be one who lives out the reality of what we've been talking about here. May God bless you richly and immensely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast.